contributing to the programme once again. David, you're welcome once more to Connemara Community Radio.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas to you and to everybody in Astronomy Ireland. As I say, a wonderful organisation, a wonderful group of people. David, the stars at this time of the year can be particularly lovely, I think, at Christmas time and the night sky, and it's just all usually sparkly. What kind of do we expect over the Christmas and into the new year? What's anything major?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, of course, this time of year, the solstice was just about 24 hours ago. At 10 to 10 last night, the official instant that winter begins in the Northern Hemisphere. So, of course, that's the really last night and tonight are the longest nights of the year. So we get, you know, in Ireland, huge amounts of darkness that they don't get, say, down at the equator or more southerly latitudes. So, yeah, there's always lots to see in the winter sky. And we're just after the huge shooting star shower that happened last week during all that freezing cold weather we had. Perfect weather for watching meteors. Nice and calm, beautiful clear skies across all of the country. Loads of people stayed out in the freezing cold and sent us in their counts of the meteors. But they're gone. There's a bit of a meteor shower coming at the moment, but it's not peace. There'll be a better one briefly in early January, and then the big one happens in August, Perseids.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, we've got lots of planets to see. If you were out this evening here, you would have seen Jupiter blazing in the sky. That's if I look up. A bit of fog around at the moment. We could see Jupiter earlier on. It's brighter than all the stars in the sky. It'll be there for a couple more months. We've also got Mars in the sky, well to its left, rising now because it's had its closest to Earth in December than it's been for over 2 years, and it won't be this close for another 2 years. So that's two really brilliant objects, brighter than all the stars in the sky to look at, Jupiter and Mars. And Jupiter actually will get close to the Moon. I think it's end of next week. Saturn is actually near the Moon as well on next Tuesday evening. And all the details of this are in our magazine with really simple diagrams that the whole family can use. I mean, who can't find the Moon? And then if you know that Saturn's the star just above it or left of it or whatever it says in the magazine, then you'll have seen the planet Saturn. Because other than that, it's just a bright star in the sky. And how would you know it's a planet and not a star?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing we do. And there's lots more coming. The big thing for the next month, a bit faint now, but brightening up over next month, is a comet that may be visible to the naked eye. It's called ZTF, after a automatic telescope that found it.
Wow.
So comet ZTF, you're going to be hearing more about late January.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that again. Now, the whole idea of the planets in the sky, I mean, how many normally would we be able to see? Or can we see them all at different stages? Or you know, are some of them so far away from us we don't see them very often?
Yeah, we've got Jupiter, which is always visible every year because it's about five times further from the Sun than we are. So we never get particularly close to it. So it's always roughly the same distance and roughly the same brightness, which is, in simple terms, far brighter than any real star in the sky. So Jupiter is always spectacular, sort of called the amateur's planet because you're guaranteed to get a good view every year. It's always blazing away. Then we have Saturn, which is twice as far out, nearly as big as Jupiter, but because it's so much further from the Sun, it's not as brightly lit as Jupiter is, and of course it's further away, so it's going to look dimmer anyway. So it always looks a bit dimmer, and about the brightness of the brightest stars in the sky. So those two are always visible every year, and well worth looking at a telescope, especially because Saturn's got those lovely rings, but you can see them with the naked eye. Then we've got Mars. And because Mars is just 1.5 times further out from the Sun than we are, when we come around lap it, as it were, and we're closest to it, it's bright then for just a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. And that's what's happening now. Early December, it was officially closest to the Earth. So December, January, February, it's going to be pretty bright in the sky. But then it'll go away and be inconspicuous for nearly 2 years before it comes back every two and a bit years. And then we have Venus, which is closer to the Sun than we are. Now, it can outshine Jupiter, but it's often near the Sun in the sky. It is at the moment. And we won't be getting a good view of it until the end of January into March and April. And that's the kind of thing we predict in the magazine. Computers can work all this out well in advance. But we can tell you roughly every year we get great views of Jupiter and Saturn. And every 2 years, great views of Mars. And at really weird intervals, we get good views of Venus.
And Venus is often called either the morning star or sometimes the evening star. It seems to be fairly nearly the first or even the last one you see. I mean, it's quite an obvious big star-like object when you do see it.
Yeah, it's the only thing that can outshine Jupiter. So when Venus is well placed, and so it's at a maximum angle from the sun, and the tilt of how it's working out is great for Ireland, because you'll often read about, especially online, oh, Venus is well placed at the moment, and that might be for the southern states, you know, or Africa or somewhere else in Ireland, very low down, very hard to see. So, you know, read Astronomy Ireland magazine instead. We'll give you the lowdown for Venus. It's going to be fairly well placed in spring of next year from Ireland in evening skies. Right now, too close to the sun to be seen. Mm-hmm. I was trying to see it this evening and I couldn't. The twilight was just too strong. So Venus can be about 100 times brighter than the brightest star that you'll see in the sky. That is really bright. Yeah. So when it is on view, it is really special. But not all the time. There's only going to be a few months in spring of next year when we'll see it well.
Yeah. I'm always so impressed when I see the planets, because they are, as you say, very bright and they look such like, you know, big star-like objects, but they're just amazing. And most people, of course, never think about them as being something other than, I mean, the stars are very interesting in their own way, but this is just something very special. The thing I'm always fascinated by, and I know that a lot of people never get to see it, and I think you've talked about this before as well, is the whole thing of the Milky Way. Fascinating kind of to see it when you've got a really clear sky and or no other light pollution. Tell me a bit about the Milky Way, because I always find it quite a fascinating feature of our skies.
Yeah, well, you see, you're lucky in Connemara. You don't have many large cities, and certainly you can get out to the countryside, and a lot of people live in the countryside anyway. So all you have to do is step out of your back door and look up. Those people who live in towns and cities with all the lights on, they won't see the Milky Way, unfortunately, because those lights brighten up the sky as bright as the Milky Way is, because the Milky Way is actually very faint. But if you are in a very dark sky location, you need to give your eyes about at least 5 minutes. They say it really goes for 15 minutes, even longer, and your eyes will become super adapted to the dark. There's amazing chemistry going on in our eyes. It's not just a simple camera like your ordinary camera phone is. There's really special things that we've evolved over millions of years. The human eye is an amazing device. And when it's at its peak in low light level conditions, you can see the Milky Way in real time. I've seen it many times. And it is a Milky Way, a milky band of light, but just very, very faint white rather than bright milk colored, shall we say. And you can even see structure in it. There are gas clouds blocking the view of it in certain parts. And of course, the Milky Way is really our own galaxy. We're in this big spinning disk of about a trillion stars, roughly speaking. And when we look deep into the thick of the disk, then that's when we see the myriad of stars. We can't see them individually, but millions of them together, they all show up as this milky band crossing the sky. Mm-hmm. It's much the same way that a cloud in the daytime sky, if you could go up into the cloud and look at it, it's actually very tiny droplets. You need a microscope to see. But from the ground, you see this big white fluffy cloud. It looks solid. But of course, nothing is further from the truth. It's individual tiny droplets, and they're not touching each other. And it's the same with the Milky Way. It's millions of stars you're seeing at once, but you can't see them individually. They're at such great distances.
Yeah, and obviously, if some of them do stand out, and they're the ones that we would, the constellations and things we'd be more familiar with. So
they're the nearby ones.
Yeah, fascinating. And the other thing, just the other evening, I was talking to some people, some relations are here for Christmas, and we were looking at the images from the Webb, the James Webb telescope. They've been amazing. I mean, the Hubble was amazing, but this is superb. Tell people a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind, about, you know, what people are looking at when they see these kind of images.
Well, that's been the big story of 2020. And it only really got half going in 2022. 2023 is going to be amazing, because a lot of the early parts of the months in this year, we're getting it ready, testing it out, focusing it, checking out all the systems, doing a bit of science. And then the first pictures were released in July. Needless to say, made the front page of Astronomy Ireland magazine. I mean, it's a 10 billion euro dollar, the roughly the same now, telescope. And there's Irish involvement as well. Our friend at Dublin Institute of Antilles, who have given us lectures during 2022, and now are going to one of the international experts for our New Year lecture on January 9th in 2023, all about, you know, the first year's worth of Webb's first results and what can we look forward to in the future. And the speaker we have this year is particularly interested in planets. And I think the general public probably have, we've already been talking about them, a great interest in planets. as the real astronomers want to see the early universe look really, really deep, which is what this telescope can do like no other telescope ever could do. And it's already done some of that work. So we're going to be looking at that and looking ahead to other work it's going to do. Hopefully it's going to last decades like the Hubble Space Telescope has. And we've already allocated a Webb Space Telescope page in our magazine every month. We've still got a Hubble page in our magazine every month. It's still going strong, and long may it continue. So we've got these two amazing space telescopes blasting back pictures, discoveries that, you know, we're going to answer some questions that we had, but throw up a whole host of new questions in the meantime. And that's the excitement of it. I mean, with two giant space telescopes worth billions of dollars each in space, this is the time to be interested in astronomy.
Absolutely. And just when you were talking about those lectures, I know during COVID they were online for people to look at so that you didn't have to travel to anywhere. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. They're still staying online. We will be looking at bringing them back with physical presence as well in the new year. We wanted to make sure COVID was well and truly gone. It is, and we started making inquiries now to set up a new venue. But they've been so popular online, and we're able to reach all of our members around the 32 counties of Ireland, even if you are zooming in from abroad, that we are definitely going to keep this for the future. We were actually looking at this before the lockdowns all began. So that just really sped things up. It was one of the few good things that came out of that shenanigans. And so we can serve members now, whether they're next door to us or whether technically they're in space on the International Space Station. They could zoom into our lectures if they wanted to. So, yeah, if you're in Mayo, Connemara, or anywhere else in the country, you can avail of Astronomy On services just as well as you can if you're in Dublin. Okay. Always, most of our members did not live in County Dublin anyway. So we've always been a 32-county organisation. And we have evening classes starting in February. You can enrol now, but also are online and always will be online from now on, that anybody in the country or world can actually zoom into.
OK, David, listen, it's great talking to you as always. Thanks a million.